Good morning.
Good morning.
Makes me laugh every time. They kind of did it. It's the hee-haw good morning. It's great to see everybody. We're so blessed to be in worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out first who is here today. It's very simple. There are pew pads, burgundy pads. We invite members and guests. Open that up. Give us name, contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Last person, when it comes to you and you're done, please send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that we used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. It's a big day in the life of our church. It is our Sunday school celebration, along with our service of affirmation that we have in the 9 and the 11 o'clock service. It's a very powerful day of worship, a good reminder for what will be school starting back. And so lots of people need prayer. So that's what we'll be doing today. Speaking of prayer partners or prayer, we have a ministry called Prayer Partners. Every child, youth, or college student in our church has an adult who will pray for them for the upcoming year. And those are starting again today. And we're asking all adults to consider being a prayer partner for one of a child, a teenager, or a college student. It's a very simple process. There is a table as you came in the church right outside of Smith Hall. There are lots of envelopes. On front of some of the envelopes, it says children, some say youth, some say college students. You choose which age you would like to have as a prayer partner. You pick an envelope, you open the envelope, you figure out who it is, and find their name on the list there at the table. Write your name down. And then that there's a sheet of paper inside that gives you information about your prayer partner. On the back side, or the second page, ideas on how to pray for them. So we really want to quickly get all of our students assigned. Usually this takes about a month for everybody to get assigned, but we'd like to get it done quickly. So if you wouldn't mind, grab an envelope today, commit to praying for them. Please know, this is not a secret Santa kind of thing, that we want you to have a relationship with the person. Sometimes youth don't always text you back. I get that. Keep trying. That's why we give parent information. We want there to be a strong relationship between the adult and the student. So we encourage you to make contact as often as you can. And I will promise, I will encourage the students to contact you back. I promise. Let's see. One word from Dylan Rollins. Dylan is up at Harvard working with crew, working there, sharing the gospel with students there in Harvard. He has arrived. He's back safely, back up there after being here for the summer. He wants you to know, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the support. If you're looking for an additional way to support him, he needs $5,000 more to complete the money for this year. So that's about 86%, I believe he said. Be praying for him. Consider supporting him financially as he ministers to college students there at Harvard. Let's see, Mary.
It is that time of year again. We do look forward to a new year, a new Sunday school year. And Georgie, if you would come up here, please. Raymond just asked if she needs help carrying those. You will see that Miss Georgie has on 49 years worth of pins for Sunday school attendance. That means in 49 years she has not missed a day of Sunday school. And today we are giving her year 50 and 48, which we couldn't find a couple years ago. Not And I had to have her come in and see me this week because the pins don't exactly match. We may have to make them fit. But we are proud of her and excited for her, and we always like to see the ribbon.
That's, you know a little bit about Scripture, don't you? Just a little bit. Thank you for sharing with that. Other things listed in your bulletin, we will take this Wednesday off as students are going back to school. It's a little bit crazy, the schedule is. We will start things back up next Wednesday night, so make note of that change. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, Raymond, come on.
While you're out there picking up an envelope for a student to be a prayer partner with, if you look on the other side of that table, we still have a few of the Now is the Time contact forms. I mentioned those last week, but if you weren't here last week, it's a packet of maybe four or five names or family groupings that we're trying to update our records and know exactly kind of where they are, what they're doing. They may have moved out of town. They may be a member at another church who's not Baptist, and so we have no record of them transferring membership. If you could help us with that, pick up one of those packets. There's instructions on the front. If you need further instruction, let me know. But if you could help us with that between now and September the 18th, which is National Back to Church Sunday. Thank you.
Okay, we want to say a special welcome now to our guest. We appreciate the information you put on the pew pad a moment ago. Thank you for that. We'd like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest today, we invite you just where you are. Just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers, they're going to come back down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Everybody likes a new start. Starting over. A second chance. If you're like me, you like third chances and fourth chances because I'm hard-headed. But we like having the opportunity to start fresh. The reality is the cross is the greatest start over ever. When we look to the cross and we see that Jesus took our sin and our shame and put it on himself, it's a do-over. You and I have a new start because of Jesus. And because of that, shouldn't we worship with everything that we have? Will you pray with me? God, thank you. As we celebrate the starting of a new school year, and we're purchasing new books or new school supplies or meeting new friends, Father, we realize some of us need a new start. Inside. Never experienced that forgiveness that only Jesus can provide. Some of us need a reminder this morning of the forgiveness that you've already done in our lives. So, Father, I pray that you come in this place, hear us and see us as we worship. And, Father, be in this place. So that we can feel your presence and know you have not left us, but you are right where you say you would be with us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Glory and honor.
Okay, good to see everybody today. Inviting the kids to come on down. I think we're all right. I have something in my pocket. Come on, guys, we'll wait for you. There's something in my pocket. When I think of school, this is one of my favorite parts of school. Would you have any guess what's in my pocket? No, let's don't guess. I'm afraid we might say. All right. Well, it's about this long. It's got a brush on one end. Oh, it's a paintbrush. Oh, this is one of my favorite things about school. Does anybody, what do you do with this at school? You paint with it. You make pretty what? Pictures. Now, I'm missing something, right? Can of paint. Why do you think I didn't bring a can of paint into? It would make, yes, it would get on my suit among other things, all right? But I would love to take a paintbrush and some paint and make a picture. I always loved going to art class. I was never really good at art stuff, but I always liked, does anybody else like going to art and making? Yes. Miss Leanne could teach me a lot about painting. That's exactly right. This year, and like every year, you would learn something new to do in art. Sometimes it's with chalk. Sometimes it's with... You love chalk? Yeah. Everybody loves chalk on the sidewalk, on our faces. We always find something new to do in art class. You're about to start school, right? You're going to learn something new, whether at preschool or elementary school. What I want you to do this year is I want you to do it with everything you have. When you learn about science or math, I want you to do it with everything you've got, okay? Just like if you were in art class and you were painting a picture, I want you to do it with all your energy, all your strength, with a big smile on your face. Do you know why? Because God made you so that you can learn really cool things and experience really cool things. Just like a brand new piece of art in art class, you get to do something brand new this year. It's because God made you to learn. For your brain and your eyes and your nose and your mouth and your ears and your fingers to see the world he's made. So go get it here at school, okay? Can you go get it this year at school? Say, go get it. Go get it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for school. The teachers, our parents, friends, you've given us a great place to learn. We've got to go get it. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to your room now. We'll talk about it in a minute. Thank you.
Okay. Prayer of Thanksgiving. This is probably going to take a couple hours. We have so much to be thankful for. Look around. Look up, look down. We have so much to be thankful for. One prayer is not enough. So I hope you'll leave here and continue praying and thanksgiving. The passage says, give thanks in all things. So I would encourage you to do that. Give thanks in all things. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for today, for this opportunity to worship and praise you, to honor you with our gifts, to honor you with our song. We are most thankful for Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and the salvation he offers us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I love this day. I love this day in the life of our church, in the life of our congregation, our people. We come together and we take the time in worship to recognize the value of education in the life of our people. Now, the truth is, we never stop learning, but especially during the younger years of life, when everything is new, we recognize the importance of the foundation that our children are receiving. And it happens, the education happens within our church, with Sunday school teachers and mission leaders, prayer partners, other adults who spend time teaching scripture, teaching missions, providing engaging environments for our young people to learn and to experience and to grow. All hopefully resulting in life change. Knowledge is, we don't get knowledge for knowledge's sake. We get knowledge so that we can be changed. To see the awe-inspiring love of God in a new way. But education not only happens in the church, it also happens in the schools. Whether you're public or private, teachers are teaching about God's creation and our understanding of it. And whether a teacher is allowed to use God's name or not, they are still teaching about the world that is and our attempt to understand it and the mysteries that God made. From science and math to history and the lessons, both good and bad, learned. How humans behave with other humans. Even in school is a spiritual learning opportunity. Hopefully resulting in a better understanding of our world. And as I said earlier, we get a new start when the school year starts. New teachers. The teachers that you drove crazy last year, you don't have to worry about them this year. You get a new teacher to drive crazy. Or we get something to create, something new this school year. But I recognize it's a stressful time, right? Now, we joked in the 9 o'clock service, parents are excited to go back to school because we're back on a regular schedule. And that's a good thing. Summer is a good amount of time, and the school year is a good amount of time. But it can cause a lot of stress for a lot of people. You got to buy those school supplies. Have you ever been to a Target the day after open house? It's a little crazy. You got to go buy the school supplies. Teachers are getting their rooms ready, furiously making sure things are right. Administrators and secretaries working hard to get the details handled. It can be stressful educating our children. If you don't believe me, travel to a sixth grade classroom one day at about 7:45 in the morning. As the math teacher is teaching the distributive property to a bunch of sixth graders about 45 minutes after they just woke up. Think about that for a minute. That is a challenge for a teacher. Think about that guidance counselor striving to help that kid who they know doesn't have the resources, food, lodging, that they need to make the most of school. What about that child who's in a different growth stage than everybody else in their classroom? And now they become the center of bullying. What What about that parent who's trying to help create the exploding volcano with their elementary kid while on the phone finding elderly care for their aging parent? The new year is great, but it can be stressful too. And we wonder, as we look at this new school year and we see a second chance and we see a new start, we question, why am I here? Why will I ever use Pythagorean theorem? Will I ever use that in my day-to-day life? Yes, at some point you're going to use it. When the test comes, you're definitely going to use it. Many times we don't see things the way God sees them. When something doesn't come easy, we back away. When we feel like we don't meet up to the standards that others do, we just stop. Sometimes we doubt our very reason for being here. What am I going to do with my life? I have a challenge this morning as we come into our time, our service of affirmation. I want to affirm all of us. You are not defined by your GPA. You are not defined by your performance evaluation by your administrator. You are not defined by your career choice. You and I who call on the name of Jesus are defined by God. We are His. Everything begins and ends there. Not your performance in school. Not how many things you and I can memorize. We are defined by who we are in Jesus. We start there. Start your school year there. We sang a song this morning in the 9 o'clock service. This, I know who I am. I was lost and you found me. I was broken and you healed me. Jesus comes in when we ask these questions. Who am I? What's my purpose here? What's my gift? Jesus says, you are mine. In Romans 14, verse 8, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. This morning, please hear, you and I belong to Christ no matter what happens in our day to day. The Lord did a work in my life. It took a while for Him to get my attention. And I went to NC State as a textile and aerospace engineering major. And I went through 2 years. I got to calculus 3. I like to say the Lord called me into ministry in that class. I was so stressed at my final. I had studied for several nights, all-nighters, to get ready. I was so stressed for that final that I arrived at the class and I had left my calculator back at the apartment. If you've ever gone through calculus, you understand you have to have that. I was so stressed I left my calculator. I promptly went to Campbell University the next semester. God uses opportunities in our life to get our attention, to remind us, I passed calculus, barely, but I passed. But that was not who I'm defined as. I am defined as God's. Everything else kind of pales into comparison. So as you all enter this new school year, whether some of you aren't doing new school year, but you've got people around you that are, we need to do this together. Educate our children together. And so in just a few moments, I'm going to invite different groups to stand up right where you are. The first group, and then we're going to pray for you, and then we'll have you sit back down. And then there will be a responsive reading that's in your bulletin. This is just a vocal reminder of what's happening as our people go back to school. Things we need to be aware of. That's what, as we enter into this service of affirmation, I invite you to remember, what is your purpose? To love God, to love other people. Remember, you are His. That's where we begin. I'd first like, if you are a parent, a grandparent, a grandparent of a student, if you're a secretary, an administrator, a teacher, a counselor in public or school, private school here, if you teach children here at church, if you are in any way involved in the education of students, would you just stand right where you are, including parents and grandparents, just stand right where you are. We thank God for you. I come from a family of teachers. I have seen what you go through. Thank you for the smiles that you keep on your face. Thank you for the way you keep teaching. Thank you for the energy that you put into our students. They are precious. For parents, when you have to get up early to get them ready for school, and you make those lunches. For parents who have to go to the programs after school, but you do work late at night because you left work early to go to the program, thank you for sharing Christ. When you teach a room full of kids the truth about missions, when you take them on trips, adults, thank you for the way that you teach our children, and you influence our teenagers and our college students. I thank God for you. Will you pray with me? God, for these adults who stand here, and Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for the way that they represent you, whether here at church or in their workplaces. Father, I thank you that they honor you with their words and with their actions. I pray a strength on them as the school year begins. As a parent's worry can be difficult, replace their worry with your courage. Father, for the teacher who was struggling financially, replace their fear. Replace their fear with your strength. For the counselors and the secretaries and the principals, the administrators, the ones here at church, lift them up and remind them of the precious gift that they have been given to teach our young people. I thank you for the opportunity we have to share with our students the fact that they are precious in God's sight. And that this world was made so that they may come to know it a little bit more. That they may see you everywhere they look. Thank you for these adults. Bless them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Walk with them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you're a child, a teenager, or a college student, Would you mind standing up right where you are? I know, I don't want to stand up. If you're in college, come on. If you're a teenager, there you go. There, everywhere we go, I know. I thank God for y'all. I thank God for y'all. Some of this is brand new thing, Wake Forest, and what's this all about? I took some Wake Forest students this past week up to Camp Cheerio, and a lot of them were freshmen, and the looks on their faces like, what is happening? What is going on? This is new. It's a new year. It's a new start. I understand the pressures that you're under. I hear the stories that you're telling me. And I watch you go through things that you don't say. You have a room full of people, a church full of people who will love you and will help you do whatever you need done. You have a home here. You have a home here. Let us be your family. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so very much for these students, these teenagers, these kids. Father, they are in such an incredible time of life right now. The things that they are learning, and also the stresses that come with it. Whether it's a brand new school, maybe a new roommate, a new teacher. Father, I pray for these students, no matter what age they are, if they are going to school or coming to church to learn, I pray, Father, that you would lift them up. Let them understand that even the things that they think are a waste of time are helping them to come to understand more about you, more about themselves, more about our world. And that could never be a waste of time. Father, for the tests and the papers and the projects that are coming, God, give them strength. May they see purpose in everything that they do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That wasn't too bad. In your bulletin, you will find a responsive reading, our covenant. This is a very simple responsive reading. There is a place for parents to answer in the affirmative, yes. There is a place for all educators, Sundays, public school, private school, administrators, secretaries, anybody who's in education business, there's a place for you to say yes. And then all the students, children, teenagers, college students, there's a place for you to say yes. And then at the end, we all come together and say yes together. Now, there is an exclamation point after each one of those yeses. There's no doubt in this yes, okay? So I want to hear it when it gets to your part. Yes! Okay. This is our covenant of affirmation. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we are claimed as God's own and brought into a new community. Today we gather to celebrate the nurturing and teaching aspects of our faith community. Parents, God has given you the privilege of primary care for your children. One of your tasks is to maintain a personal relationship with Jesus so that your child may see the eternal value of knowing and serving God. Your role is to exhibit this faith relationship within the setting of a Christian community. As your child continues the journey of faith, do you promise to partner with educators and other church leaders through active support and involvement in specific ministry opportunities while also modeling a Christian lifestyle at home?
Yes.
Yes. Educators, you have accepted the privilege of nurturing children, youth, and adults in our community to increase their understanding of God's creation, boundless love, acceptance, and forgiveness through your gift of teaching. Do you commit to the task of helping your students grow in knowledge and confidence of their place in God's creation?
Yes.
Students, you are a valuable part of God's creation and our faith community. This body has committed to helping you learn what it means to know Christ and serve Him. Your attitude and willingness to grow are keys to your faith development. Do you promise to come ready to learn, grow in your faith, serve God daily, and encourage others to do the same?
Yes.
At each parent-child dedication, we have all joined together in surrounding children and their parents in a covenant for faith development. Do you all promise to continue your support and involvement, modeling a Christian lifestyle of prayer, encouragement, service, and faith?
Yes.
Amen. We have a young lady who has experienced the power of our community in growing her own family. So we invite Alice Wilson now to just share a little bit about what this means to her.
When Raymond calls in the middle of the week and says, "Hi, what are you doing?" your first thoughts are, "Uh-oh, I really have messed up," or "He's got an opportunity for me." Well, he had an opportunity for me, and thank you for letting me share today. I feel humbled to be able to do this. As most of you know, I taught school here in Winston-Salem Forsyth County and in South Carolina for many years. I've had wonderful memories of students and classes, parents that would take too long to describe. I do have two short stories I'd like to share. Back in 1974, my first year teaching, I had a class that would probably set records for one way or other, and probably some of them not too good. But I had a child that right after Halloween brought a pin off his Halloween costume that said U.S. And of course, being the good kindergarten teacher, I said, "Boys and girls, what does this stand for? What does this pin mean?" And there was dead silence. And then one little girl raised her hand in the back and said, "Isn't that the company that makes mailboxes?" And I said, "Yes, that's true, it is." Recently, I received a letter from a former student who was graduating from college. He wanted me to know that he hadn't had to flip his behavior card all 4 years of his college education. And I'm thankful that I had a small part, maybe, in helping both of these to become good citizens. Today, I want to talk to you, though, about another opportunity that we all have. I recently saw the movie Pete's Dragon, which is a remake of the movie from years ago. And in it, a dragon raises a small child. Details aren't given of how he accomplishes this, but after 6 years after Pete loses his parents, Elliot has taken over that role and raises Pete, who, by the way, turns out better than some of the other characters in the movie. Today, we don't have green dragons, or at least I haven't seen any. That's our responsibility. In Deuteronomy 4, God gave the children of Israel instructions for going to the promised land. In verse 9, he says, "Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren." In Proverbs 22:6, we hear these words, "Teach a youth about the way he should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it." Teach your children what they are to do. The first part of the verse in Deuteronomy should give us to pause because we are to guard and watch ourselves. We are to show our children the way. I'm thankful to this church for the way that you've helped Don and me raise our children, the nursery workers, the teachers, the choir leaders, the youth leaders, the basketball coaches, Charles, Steve, Raymond, Jeff, and each of you have been a part in their training. Not only my children, but many others have gone on to become ministers and Christian educators, to be working in our community and around the state as good Christian people. That would not have been possible without all of us working together with their best interests at heart and following God's command to teach the children and the grandchildren. Not only do we find those words in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament in Mark 10:13-16. Some people were bringing little children to him so that he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, whoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. After taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. Did you know that this is the only place in the Gospels that Jesus was said to be indignant? The word means strong anger. He allowed the children to come to him so that he could bless them and care for them. Can we do anything less? At College Park, we have many opportunities to let the little children and the youth and college students come to us. Let me share a few of those with you now that you can seek out where you would like to be of service. Today we have beginning, as Jeff said, the Prayer Partner Ministry. Each of us can choose an envelope and become a part of a child, a youth, or a college student's life. A simple telephone call, a card, or a smile can change these people's lives forever. The Backpack Ministry. We can donate money to help buy food for children in our community who do not have enough to eat each day. You can help to pack these bags once a quarter. My 92-year-old mom comes and enjoys this opportunity as she's put stickers on those little bags so you can tell them apart. Ask Lori Cogdell or Stephanie Phillips how you can help. You can be a Sunday school teacher or helper. If teaching isn't actually for you, you can come be a part of helping, as we lovingly call crowd control, or fill in one Sunday when a regular teacher is away by helping to teach. Ask Becky Haney how you can help. Nursery workers are always needed. If everyone would volunteer just a couple of Sundays a year, we would have an abundance of helpers. Speak with Jennifer Allen. We need basketball coaches for all levels, but if coaching, like me, is not your strength, you can come to the games and cheer on all the children. That's something we all can do. Mary needs people to help with children's choirs. It still doesn't take a great voice to sit beside a child and to help them sit still and follow along the words of the songs. Women on Mission needs leaders for Mission Friends, GA leaders for our young girls, RA leaders for our young boys. You can ask Bette Matthews or Jerry Osborne where you can help. We can support our children's departments when it's Children's Sunday, as our children lead in worship. We can support our youth on Youth Sunday, and you can volunteer to help Jeff. You don't know what fun you can have until you've ridden a sleeping bag down a flight of stairs, gone whitewater rafting your first and last time, or tried to sleep on the floor in a sleeping bag that may or may not have been the right size. You may have a young adult in one of your Sunday school classes. You can ask them what they're studying, and when they tell you 5 minutes later about the black hole, you know just as much as you did before they started talking. Or you can hear the words that say, "Mom and Dad, I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I want to be baptized." Or, "Mom and Dad, I believe Jesus is calling me to go into the ministry." These are opportunities we have as the church body to help all of our children. We are all called, as the Israelites were called, to remain faithful and to teach and train our children. Several years ago, there was a phrase going around, "It takes a village." And yes, it does take a village, but more importantly for us, it takes a Christian village to raise Christian children. Schools are not able to teach Christian values. I couldn't talk about God creating, but I did talk about things that were created. I tried to show each of the children I taught that I loved them and I cared for them. This doesn't mean we need to stop volunteering in schools. Classrooms still need adults to read with non-readers, extra hands for special projects. We just need to be focused on our church village and then reach out to the other villages. Another quote we often hear is that children may not remember what you taught them, but children will remember how you made them feel. They need to see that we care for them and that God loves them. A simple smile can make a big difference. Take time on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights to talk to a child or a youth, and not just speak to them, but really talk to them. Raymond used to tell us when we were teaching in the youth that we may be the only Jesus someone sees today. What kind of Jesus are they going to see? Take every opportunity to become a part of a child, a youth, or a college student's life. We're called to teach the children and grandchildren, not to watch somebody else do it. And believe me, there are plenty of other people that will be out there to teach them on the internet, in our communities, in the world, that we don't want them teaching. But as the verses in Deuteronomy said, only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things that your eyes have seen and so they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Thank you.
She's preaching next Sunday if you'd like to come here. I just turned my notes over to her, said, do what you will with it. But this is an opportunity for us as a church to not only affirm the children, the youth, the workers, the parents, all of that, but it's also a chance, as we began in our covenant together, this is a chance in our commitment to one another and to our children, to not a cause, but to people, to our children, to our parents, to each one of us sitting beside each other here in these pews, that we are going to commit ourselves to doing whatever's necessary to help raise and encourage our children, our teenagers, our college students, our grad school students, to, as we talked about last week, not to be what they want to be, but to be all that God created them to be, which is much more desirable. So I want to ask you if you would join me in standing, please. And because we're making this covenant together, this commitment together, I'm going to ask you to reach out and touch the person beside you, either hold a hand or put your hand on the shoulder, or because this is not a singular act. We're not in this by ourselves. So if you would just either hug or put your hand on the shoulder, hand on hand or whatever. If you want to move across the aisles, that's fine, but don't anybody be by themselves right now, because this is something that is not by ourselves kind of act. It is truly something we're doing together. And we're going to pray and ask for God's help in the days that follow. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for the privilege of helping raise your kids. Father, they're not ours. We know that. You've entrusted us with them, but they're your children. And so we accept that, and we're thankful for that. And Father, whether they're our biological child, or whether they are our spirit child, or whether they are a friend of a friend of a friend, or a grandchild of someone we know that we sit with every Sunday morning, whatever the relationship may be, help us to take responsibility, Father, and to glean enjoyment from being a part of each other's lives. Laughing together, crying together, learning together, singing together, worshiping together, all that we do here. Father, help us to embrace these moments. Father, help us to look forward to them. Father, we pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We pray for courage. We pray that your wisdom would fill us even as we go forward from this day. Father, we thank you again for knowing you and having our brothers and sisters in Christ along with us for this journey. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to join us. We're going to sing a song. It's hymn number 613. It's called The Servant Song. And if during that time you would like to either to accept Christ or recommit your life to Christ or speak a word to a person here in the sanctuary, a word of encouragement, that's okay. You know what? Whatever the Spirit leads you, if y'all be here at the front, if you'd like to share with me a decision that you're struggling with or a decision that you'd like to make, I'd be glad to talk with you about that as we sing together.
Oh,
Following our benediction and the choral response, I encourage you, greet one another, encourage one another as we go. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, for a day of worship, for a day of joy, for a day of encouragement, we give you thanks. Father, we pray as we go from this place that we would understand that not only is work to be done here in this place, but also into our community. So we embrace that, and we look forward to the opportunities you'll give us this week to be your hands and your feet. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.